And good afternoon. It is a Thursday, September 20th, 2018, 13 minutes past the hour, and we are racing into this hour today because we've got a big hour ahead for you. As you know, in just about 7 weeks, we are going to elect our next governor of Ohio. We have no incumbent. We have the Democrat, Rich Cordray. We have the Republican, current Attorney General Mike DeWine. Last night, they squared off in their first debate of three, and today, for the first time ever on this program, Attorney General and candidate for governor Mike DeWine coming up at 1:30. And then at that point, we'll have had every candidate for governor on this program. So that's coming up momentarily. But for the first 10 minutes or so here, we needed to talk to somebody who I like a whole lot, because not only because he's a frequent visitor to this program, but because we have anonymous letters flying around being written to the New York Times, and we don't know who wrote these letters, and there's investigations, and should we do lie detector tests, and what's going to go on, and what's this, and what's that, and who's this, and who's that? Well, you know what, who can sum all that up in 10 minutes but a man who is the world's greatest mentalist? You know him best from the Johnny Carson Show, Sally Jesse Raphael Show, and all points in between as he travels all over this world, movies, book signings, holy mackerel. Let's bring in here the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
Barry, it is always good to talk to you. And it's hard to believe that the last time we spoke was in August. But, you know, August is not that far away. That's only a month ago. I say this all the time, and Barry has to get I'm saying Barry, I'm joking, but Scott's got to get used to – Scott, you got to get used to my sense of humor, because I'll sometimes – call people Rasputin and anything else, and it's all tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, if we can't laugh at ourselves, we're in trouble in this day and age. Would you not agree, Scott, especially the way things are these days?
We have got to laugh, because there's a lot of stuff going on.
And it's, you know, you mentioned, Scott, and I want to explain this to everyone, because that offer that was to the president was made about 6-7 days ago, but of course, what's preempting everything these days is something about a judge that I'm sure everybody knows by the name of Kavanaugh, and then a person who has made some accusations. But I want to tell you, about the New York Times piece. We've discussed this. I don't have to explain this. I know we don't have a lot of time. I've been involved in 86 crime cases, and you folks are going to hear more about them in the not-so-distant future, but that's something I'm going to announce also on your show. At the same time, I don't go into a trance. I try looking into a crystal ball, but I got to tell you something, Scott. Every time I look into a crystal ball, I get severe headaches, so don't worry about that. But I've been able to help people elicit clearer memories, clarify, and I've worked on about a third of the cases. So I sent a video, 32 seconds long, and people can access it, to the president, simply stating that whether people are for you, pro you, Mr. President, or anti, or in between, this is not the issue here, but there is tremendous interest as to who this figure is that has secretly or confidentially sent this letter to the New York Times, and I believe that I can offer a possible way of discovering who the individual is. I'm not going to go through a number of crime cases I was involved in where an entire room was filled with various suspects, because if he were to gather at the White House or some banquet affair, maybe 10, 15 people, he's curious at the situation. I wouldn't go up to each of them, and Scott, I would not say, did you write the letter? No, that doesn't even make sense. What I would do is, in a very nice way, carry on conversations and occasionally allude to the letter, because I feel that in certain situations, and it happened in one crime case, where I walked out of a room where the two detectives knew who had stolen the jewelry. And when I left the room, we got in a very violent argument. I was at someone's home because the suspects were there. They were part of a whole family. And I said, I don't get the impression any of them are guilty. I really don't. And they got in an argument with me because they said, no, we know who it is, because they took a polygraph test and failed. Well, the person who who failed the test has died. They never fully accused him because that's the only evidence they had. And since then, the jewelry has been found. It was misplaced and lost, thanks to Alzheimer's on the part of one of the parties who had the jewelry. So they were all innocent. So I want to offer that particular thing. But I got to tell you something. And Scott, I know your schedule, so you interrupt me when we only have a couple minutes left. I'm being asked a lot about, and everybody is, because the topic now regarding Judge Brett Kavanaugh and what have you, and the person accusing him and so forth. I got a few things to say. And it's not going to, and I know I'm not judging the person. I never met the judge before. But it is interesting, and I'm sure this has come up in your discussions, and my degree's in psychology, so I have no prejudice about psychologists, but I have never met more whacked-out people in my life than in the field of psychiatry. I have a couple of friends who are psychiatrists who say, Kreskin, we agree with you. There's more mental illness in this field than almost any field you can imagine. And Freud even felt that way when he was teaching psychoanalysis. But the truth of the matter is, you wonder, and I say this not because I have a degree and an honorary PhD in psychology and all this jazz, but because of my work traveling around the world. You wonder, Scott, why a person would wait almost 40 years to come forth with a memory. And then when they come forth with a memory, and obviously it was traumatic if it really happened, it was unforgettable if it really happened, but as unforgettable as it was, not to remember when it took place, what city took place, what the date was. If I were hit with something traumatic, I think I would never forget it. What makes it more interesting is that the person who's made these accusations is a professor, a psychologist. You heard me. Let me repeat it twice. A psychologist, a psychologist. I find this, now, to the credit, this person decided to take a polygraph test. Let me say this. Because I worked for a number of years with a polygraph expert. I knew him very closely well. Not that I gave polygraph tests, but he confided with me mostly very, very well. The reason polygraph tests are not offered in court today in the United States is that they are absolutely inaccurate. I can teach most of you listening to me now, if I sat with you for 45 minutes, I can train you to beat a polygraph test. I'm not joking. This is not show business. This is my career and how I work. The other problem is this, and a psychologist should tell you this. Most of your memories 30 and 40 years ago are incredibly inaccurate. They are not accurate. And we all know this because they're altered by things that have happened in the interim. So with that scenario in mind, it's a very interesting thing that a polygraph test is used to add credibility. I would have a field day in court if that information were brought forward. Other than that, Scott, I don't have too much to say about this issue.
Well, very interestingly enough, with 4 minutes left here, the question on everybody's mind is, we don't know now if this accuser is going to testify on Monday. We don't think the FBI is going to investigate it, but we don't know. So I guess the question I would have to ask you as a mentalist, at this point, do you feel Kavanaugh will be confirmed, will be on the Supreme Court with 3 minutes left to go?
Well, I have an intuitive feeling that I haven't been around him, so I don't know the scenario and so forth, but I have an intuitive feeling that he will be confirmed. I could be wrong. I only claim to be 90% successful 10% of the time. No, but all kidding aside, and if I talk with some humor, it's because I think the public is finally having it up to here that this super saturation scenario. I feel he will be, but at the same time, we have a new issue taking place. You probably brought it up in your discussions as well. It's reached a point that something that happened to you 40 years ago in high school can be used as a leverage to destroy someone's reputation. This was in high school. Even the person that was acclaimed was there says he doesn't remember anything quite like that and so forth. But you know, when years ago, 30, 40 years ago, people, when they got into their teens and so forth, were always playing around sexually and so forth in many, many situations, and life seemed to go on. I find this a very, very interesting scenario, because as any man, if he confided and sat with you alone and told the truth, he would say, "Kreskin, I'm afraid you're true." All you need to do is to get one or two or three disgruntled people who lost a job with the company, who come forth and remember some extraordinary dramatic scenes, and you will destroy their career and much of their life. Because, Scott, we have a phenomenon today that I didn't hear about when I was a kid. I wasn't trained this way. I wasn't taught in school. I was taught as an American citizen that you're innocent until proven guilty. If you watch some of the news shows where the news people on the air have made a decision, this is not, Scott, the America that I grew up in.
It is different. Now, Kreskin, with our limited time here, because our guest in coming up next year is
going to... And I think that's exciting.
Oh, it's going to be...
A gentleman, Attorney General? Is that
Attorney General.
Running for office, huh?
Running for office. And here's what I'm going to... Because, Kreskin, we're going to have you back here in a week or two. Here's what I'm going to ask you next time you're on. So I'm going to give you a little heads up on this one. Because this race for governor is very close between Cordray and DeWine. We're down to 7 weeks now.
I understand what you said, yeah.
Yes, so I'm going to ask you, when we talk next, who's going to be the next governor of Ohio?
All right. Listen, folks, and Scott, it's always great to talk to you. I'm very pleased. I feel good that so much of the press has asked me not to judge a person making accusations, but Kreskin, you've worked with the mind. You've talked about polygraph tests and so forth, and at least I hope I have a larger picture. But folks, just remember something. Just remember that we learned that a person is innocent until proven guilty. That's all I'm going to say, Scott.
Beautiful. Amazing, Kreskin. We will talk soon.
Thank you,
Scott. Bye-bye.
To be continued, Scott. To be continued.
As always.
Thank you.
Kreskin, we're going to come back here very shortly with the Attorney General and candidate for governor, Mike DeWine. Don't change that dial.
We're having fun every day from 1 to 3 p.m. on Now with Scott Spears right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Our professional wrestler and movie star Ox Baker.
I want to tell you, listeners of WWGH, this is Ox Baker. Man, Ohio, I know you listen to WWGH. You better start listening.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, 1 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM, the place to be.
Hi, this is Steve Boom Boom Cannon, and as the king of trivia, I've got a question for you. Where can you find great talk, open phone lines, and celebrities every day? Now with Scott Spears on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP. We're in Marion, Ohio. Call him at 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.WWGH1071.com
from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday.
It's Now with Scott Spears Monday through Thursday right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these: the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, September 20th, right before fall, 30 minutes past the hour, and we get a rare treat here today. We have had every candidate in every primary this year running for governor of Ohio, except one person, and we are so glad to have him with us today. He is the current Attorney General of the state of Ohio. I'm sure you saw or heard about the debate last night, the first of three in the race for governor of Ohio. Such a pleasure here to have 15 minutes with the Attorney General of the state of Ohio and the Republican gubernatorial candidate, Mike DeWine. Attorney General DeWine, so glad to speak with you.
Hey, Scott, how you doing today?
Doing well. Well, tell me about last night. How do you think it went?
Well, I think it went well. You know, I wish I'd had more time to, you know, lay out my vision for the future of the state. I tried to do that and talked about really where I want to take Ohio and, you know, what we want to do is really focus, and what we will do is really focus on jobs. And we got a couple challenges connected with, you know, expanding our economy and expanding jobs and having better paying jobs. And one of the problems is, you know, we have a lot of people who can't pass a drug test. And so this opiate epidemic is just very tough. You know, we're still losing 12, 13 probably people every single day, which is just a horrendous, absolutely horrendous number. We have babies who are born, you know, to moms who are addicted to drugs with all the challenges that causes in the future for you know, development, personal development of that particular child. Half of our kids in foster care are there because one or both parents are drug addicts. But we have a 12-point plan where we really focus on treatment. One of the best ways to get people into treatment we've found are the drug courts that are around the state of Ohio. We have some really heroic judges and their staffs who are, you know, basically giving people a choice. You can either go to prison or you in jail, or you can go into treatment. And then when they go into treatment, they, you know, they really watch them, make sure they're doing well, and try to get them through that and get them sober. And when that happens, then the judge, you know, either seals the charge or dismisses the charge. And we've seen a lot of people saved that way. So, you know, we focus on treatment. We also focus on law enforcement. There's a model out there called a bulk cash task force model that works exceedingly well. We have it in some parts of the state. We don't have it in others. When I'm governor, we'll have it everywhere. We'll have it absolutely every part of the state. And probably, though, the most important thing is prevention. We got to start early. We'll do something that's never been done in the history of the state before, and that is to start early on, kindergarten K through 12, do something every year that's age appropriate every year, do something that has been proven to, you know, to really work. And so we have a comprehensive plan to go after this the drug problem, which ultimately will really impact our ability to grow jobs in the state of Ohio. The other, you know, thing that is challenging in regard to growing jobs is while we have a lot of jobs out there that are available, we have people who could fill them, but people who don't have the requisite skill sets that, you know, that they should have. So that is really a big challenge that we face. We're going to start early on. I mean, our goal for every child in the state is that they graduate from high school truly college ready or truly, you know, on a pathway to a career. And to achieve that, you know, we're going to start early with early childhood development, focus on kids who are the most at risk, kids who will be showing up at kindergarten unless we do something, you know, actually already way behind. Our goal is to get them up to the starting line so that they can start with other kids and truly make it. The other thing we're really going to do in regard to education is put a real focus on our great career centers. We have great career centers in the state, high school career centers where young people are learning great skills, 21st century jobs, but we need to take it up to the next level so that our career centers are the best in the world and preparing people for 21st century jobs. So that's kind of a flavor of some of the things that, you know, I talked about last night, and it's something that, you know, I think is, these things are very, very important, and that's what we, you know, we intend to work on, you know, when I'm governor.
Absolutely. You know, when you look back on your 8 years as Attorney General, what would you cite as your biggest accomplishment?
I think two things. You know, we fixed the state crime lab. The Attorney General runs the state crime lab. We have three around the state. We have Bowling Green. We have Richfield up in the Cleveland area. And then we have London, which is in central Ohio, which is where people in your listening area, where their police would be taking the evidence. So we fixed it. I mean, the day I took office and just candidly, Richard Cordray left the place a mess. And he was the Attorney General before me, and you know, just left it a real mess. If there was a DNA retrieved from a rape victim or someone else, where you're trying to find out who the unknown assailant is, and you got his DNA or you got her DNA, it would have sat there for 125 days if it was taken in by the police before anybody would ever have tested it. That's just horrendous. We have fixed that. We've speeded things up. We can turn cases around in 24 hours now. We had a little girl a little while ago who was, I think, 12 years old, standing in front of a school bus stop in Columbus, Ohio. And, boy, this guy came up, total stranger, abducted her, and tragically he raped her. We found out about her on the news and told the Columbus Police Department, you know, did you get a rape kit on the little girl? In other words, did you get DNA from the assailant? And the answer was, yes, we did. So they brought it in. We tested it. And within 24 hours, the guy was in jail. Now he's in prison, we think, probably for the rest of his life, which is where he, you know, absolutely deserves to be. So fixing the crime lab is one. I think the second big thing that we did that I'm very proud of is all the old rape kits that were sitting in police departments around the state. Again, this is a contrast between what Richard Cordray didn't do and what I did. He didn't test these, didn't go after them. I made a point to go after them, urged police departments to bring these old rape kits to us that had never been tested. We ended up testing about 14,000, a little under 14,000. We got matches on 36%, which means, you know, to our listeners out there, that a little better than one out of every three, we were able to go back to the victim and tell her who the rapist was. Sometimes the guy was dead. Sometimes he was in prison. But there were other times when he was out. Cuyahoga County alone, Cleveland, has indicted over 700 people as a direct result of this old rape kit initiative. So, you know, when I talk to victims, I mean, why is it important? Well, it's important because we have victims out there. and we have victims out there, you know, who didn't know who their assailant was, who were told when the evidence was taken from them that, hey, if you give us this evidence, we'll, you know, we're going to test it. We'll try to find out who exactly did this. And then they find out later that it was never tested. So we owe that to the victims. And we got it done, my team and I, and, you know, I'm very proud of that. It's, again, something that Cordray did not do, and we did it, and it was the right thing to do to get the rapist off the streets, but also, frankly, we just really, really owed it to that rape survivor, to that rape victim. And I've talked to a few of the women whose, you know, rape kits that we tested on my initiative, and you just can't believe their stories. I mean, they tell you, look, I've been looking over my shoulder for 15 years or whatever it was, many times it was 15 years, wondering who did it, wondering if he was out there lurking around some corner, wondering if he was doing this to somebody else.
You know,
we found out, you know, they would tell me, look, when I found out, I was just so relieved.
Yep. Still there, Attorney General?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Still here.
Yeah. Yeah. Two subjects I wanted to cover here in our remaining 6 minutes, and it was brought up again last night, and it's been brought up a lot in the campaign, the ECOT scandal brought up again last night. Rich Cordray says that people donated to your campaign. That's why you did not prosecute them. $189 million stolen from Ohio. What is your answer to that? Electronic schools,
well,
for people who are...
Richard Cordray knows better than that. He was the Attorney General. He did absolutely nothing during the time he was Attorney General to go after ECOT. And ECOT has been in existence for some time, and there was a state audit that pointed out the conflict. There was a conflict between the guy who really owned it and, you know, what he was really supposed to be doing. And so... Cordray is really disingenuous for him to say that, because he did nothing. I'm the person who took action. I'm the person who sued ECOT. We have won our case in every level, and in the Supreme Court, we've won two separate cases. We're now in the process of going after this guy's assets. He's got some property in Florida and other places, and we're going after those assets. So, you know, the client, we're the lawyer for the state. The Ohio Department of Education, it was difficult, frankly, for us to take any action until the Ohio Department of Education made a finding against ECOT, against Logger. Once they did that, we were all over it, did what we have done, have been successful so far, won a number of different cases. We've got a bulldog of a lawyer who's been doing this for us. So Richard Cordray talks about these things. It's just like the rape kits. You know, he talks about he didn't do anything. He talks about fixing BCI. He didn't do anything. He talks about ECOT. He didn't do anything. I mean, one of us talks, one of us gets things done. And just to top all this off, I think the most shocking thing to come out of last night's debate is he still says he's in favor of State Issue 1, which would mean it's a plan that he supports. I don't know any rational person, sensible person who understands it, who can support it. It does a couple things. One, it says that you can have enough fentanyl to kill 10,000 people. You can be found in possession of that. And if this amendment goes in place, instead of it being a felony where you could go to prison, it will become a misdemeanor where you cannot go to prison. The judge cannot sentence you to prison. Talk about inviting the drug cartels to set up shop in Ohio. Anybody who is on the border of Ohio, let's take somebody in Toledo or somebody in Cincinnati, you know, close to other states, where every state around us, this is a felony in Ohio, would have the most lenient laws, no jail time at all. Where do you think the Mexican drug cartels are going to operate from? Well, they're going to operate from where they have safe haven. And it doesn't matter how much drugs they have on their possession, you know, that they cannot go to prison. So they will send people in, and we will have a target on our back. It just makes no sense. When we look at the problems in Ohio, fentanyl is what is driving our death rate still. In spite of a lot of good work by a lot of good people at the local level, county after county after county, in Marion, for example, you know, we've seen some real action being taken. We've worked with the police, worked with the sheriff, worked with the prosecuting attorney, had some successes. But in spite of that, the death rate, it continues high in Ohio because they've moved over, the drug dealers, Mexican drug cartel has moved over from heroin to fentanyl. Fentanyl is about 50 times more potent than heroin. So anybody who thinks more fentanyl in the state of Ohio is a good thing, I just don't know what they're thinking about. But Richard Cordray clings to this, still supports it. The only thing I can conclude is his vision of Ohio, where he wants Ohio to go, is dramatically different than mine.
60 seconds left here, Attorney General, and I thank you for the time. Wanted to bring this up. 15 hours ago, you tweeted, "I think the president has done an excellent job of appointing judges to the federal bench." At this point, with what's going to happen here in the next few days, does that include Judge Kavanaugh, and would you like to see an investigation there?
Well, I think that the Judiciary Committee needs to do everything it can to get the facts out. You know, it's a little disturbing to me that some members of the Senate had this allegation several months ago, didn't bring it out. I guess they have their own reasons or their own explanation, but that's sort of behind us now. But these are very serious allegations. They have to be taken very seriously, and we have to get to the bottom of it. The best source of information about this is the people who, you know, it was alleged were involved. And the accuser / victim, depending on what the facts are, the professor, you know, she needs to testify. And I would hope, and I think, if I heard the news correctly today, that they've given Senator Grassley, the chairman, has given her lawyer some alternatives. How she would testify. She could testify, you know, in open hearing. But I also understand why she might not want to do that. But somehow, whether in closed session or whether privately, but somehow the committee and then ultimately the United States Senate has to get the facts out. And there's no better person to talk about that than the person who, you know, alleges that the event occurred. And, you know, I'm not judging whether it did or did not. But you know, they've got to get to the bottom of this. It's very serious allegations. They have to be taken very seriously.
Attorney General, a Republican candidate for governor, just in about 7 weeks here in Ohio, Mike DeWine. First visit, Attorney General, but I hope it's not the last.
Well, I hope we can be back on again, and look forward to talking with you when I'm governor.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Thank you,
Attorney General. Bye bye.
All right, thank you.
All right, the Attorney General, Mike DeWine. What do you make of that, folks? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on what Mike DeWine had to say there? Now, this is a very close race, and there are going to be two more debates. I believe one in Marietta and one maybe closer to the Columbus area, I think. I know one's in Marietta. But I tell you, we're getting down to the wire, and we certainly thank the Attorney General for calling in. Now, there is a lot of stuff going on here. Now, Issue 1 in Ohio is going to be decided this November as well. Now, Issue 1, my understanding of the issue is, and I could be wrong, is that you would receive a misdemeanor and not a felony the first two times you were arrested with on drug charges. And I think it's hard to get a job if you have a felony, I would think. And I think that's what that is trying to do. Now, is that the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? Who's to say? Everybody will get their chance to vote on it come November. But you have heard from Rich Cordray on this show, and Mr. Cordray is always welcome to call into this show anytime he would like, as are you, the listening audience. 740-383-4. 47 minutes left in this killer hour on this particular day. Give me a call. 740-383-9944. And we do have our trivia questions out here still with 12 minutes left. Hope you enjoyed the amazing Kreskin as well. It's always fun to have Kreskin on, because I think we all learn a little
when we have the amazing Kreskin on and have some fun. And as Kreskin said, in this particular day and age, we got to have some fun. We've got to have some fun because we're not having enough. But boy, this governor's race, it is wide open as far as I'm concerned. The polls are within 1%. Will any of these debates do anything? Will anybody sway it one way or another? What's going to happen here? That's the big question. What's going to happen when we get to the polls in November? Because after that, it's anybody's ball game. Now, we do have Huntsman Auto Oil changes here. We do have tickets to Jack Hanna's Open Air Safari. We do have one pair of tickets left to the Columbus Zoo. We do have Reese Pieces candy bars, Kit Kat, Snickers, all kinds of things. Florence Harding was the first lady to be able to cast a vote for her husband as president. Why was that odd for Florence Harding? For Florence Harding in particular. Why was that odd? 740-383-9944. Who did John Dean, White House counsel to President Richard Nixon, dedicate his book to Warren G. Harding to? If you have the book, you know the answer. It's inside the front cover. Who did John Dean dedicate his book to Florence Harding to? Who was that? Not Florence Harding. Who did John Dean dedicate his book on Warren Harding to? Must have Florence Harding on the mind. Who was the keynote speaker at the first Harding Symposium back in 2009? Who was it? Person who had a tie to the Harding family, but was not a member of the Harding family. Who would that be? Now tomorrow, don't forget, here on WWGH Radio, we kick off the morning with Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 10 a.m., Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett at 11 a.m., The Exchange Club with myself and Charlie Evers, Marge Hazlett, and new panelist Brandy Downs at 12 p.m., and then Charlie Evers from 1 to 3 tomorrow. So we got a big way to round out the work week here. Goulardi. Does anybody remember Goulardi up in Cleveland, the famous horror host? Well, Goulardi went on to bigger things after he left Cleveland. Where did he go? What was the campaign slogan on the Bush Quail bumper sticker in 1992? Re-elect Bush Quail, and then there's a campaign slogan. What was it? What did Dr. Ruth, legendary talk show host and author and psychologist, what did she tell me about President Trump when she was on this show back in February of this year? What'd she tell me? What two candidates for president have I interviewed? Not people in the primary, but actual candidates for president. They didn't win the office, but they were candidates. What two candidates for president have I interviewed on this station? What was Phyllis Diller's favorite type of dressing for Thanksgiving? A food item. Her favorite type of dressing. Who did Shecky Green, comedian, stand-up comedian, replace in Chicago at a club? The person he replaced has been on this show, well-known person. Who was that? We've had a person on this station who worked for Edward R. Murrow. Who did we have on this station who worked for legendary newsman Edward R. Murrow? Who would that have been? 740-383-9944. Now, also, don't forget, a week from today, Jim Albright was the last guard out of Alcatraz prison. Jim has also authored Last Guard Out, a riveting account by the last guard to leave Alcatraz. Jim will be in Marion, Ohio on Thursday, September 27th at 7 p.m. at the Harding High School, giving a lecture with pictures and stories from his years at Alcatraz. This event is free to the public. Free. Our gift to you here at WWGH Radio. Jim will be on the radio with us next Thursday, September 27th, from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. From 10 to 12, he'll be on with Charlie, and from 12 to 2, he'll be on with me. That's next Thursday, September 27th, Jim Albright, the last guard out of Alcatraz. Now, we've also got these Ambrosia tickets. Ambrosia, the band, will be playing the Marion Palace Theater on Friday, September 28th. We have two tickets to the show to give away and two tickets to a private meet and greet with the band. Now, if you answer a trivia question right between now and next Thursday, September 27th, we will put your name in a bowl to win these tickets. Now, these are, you know, high-end items. Ambrosia is an American rock band formed in Southern California in 1970. Ambrosia had five top 40 hit singles released between 1975 and 1980, including top five hits How Much I Feel and Biggest Part of Me. Most of the original band members have been active with the group continuously for the past 25 years to the present day. Ambrosia currently tours internationally and has worked in the past with and present with Leonard Bernstein, Kurt Vonnegut Jr., Alan Parsons, Bruce Hornsby, and most recently Michael McDonald, among other notable artists. In 2015, the group released a new single and plans to release an album of all new material this year. Now remember, they'll be at the Marion Palace Theater on Friday, September the 28th at 7 p.m., and we have two free tickets to that show, as well as two tickets to a private meet and greet with the band. So if you can answer any of our trivia questions in the next 5 minutes, 55 minutes past the hour, we will enter you into a drawing, and we will be drawing the winner of that those tickets next Thursday, September 27th, between 10 and 12 in the morning. So you've got to pay attention. And again, we thank the amazing Kreskin for being on today, and certainly first-time visitor, Attorney General of the State of Ohio, gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side, Mike DeWine, for being with us and calling in. So, big day here at WWGH Radio, and as we had Mike DeWine on, that rounded out us now having on every candidate for governor this year. We had on, we've had on Cordray, we had on Kucinich, we had on Schiavone, we had on O'Neill, we had on Mary Taylor, Lieutenant Governor, and now we've had on Mike DeWine. We've had them all. So, whoever the next governor is, they have been on this show. Now, in your opinion, where do you think that's going? Do you think it's going to go toward Mike DeWine? Or do you think it's going to go toward Richard Cordray? Does anybody have an opinion out there? We've got 4 minutes left. 740-383-9944 certainly would be interesting to hear your opinion on how you think this is all going to shake down in the end. It's going to be a very interesting time, not only in Ohio, but all over the country come Election Day 2018. This coming November, November 6th, it's going to be, I believe, my forecast for this whole thing is that we're going to have a record number of people turning out to vote. Now, I don't know if that spells good things for Republicans or bad things for Democrats or good things for Democrats and bad things for Republicans. All I know is that people will make choices and we will see what happens. But I do believe a record number of people will turn out. So my advice to people as we head into November 6th, if you plan on voting absentee, you need to make arrangements to get that done. If you think you can't stand in long lines, I would suggest figuring out another option like voting absentee. But I do think this November 6th is going to be something, and we certainly will have the coverage for you here on WWGH Radio. And we've got a county commissioner race coming up. We have got the prosecutor race coming up. We have got a few judge races coming up here in Marion. So there are a lot of things, and there are things on the ballot, like Issue 1. And then some of you live in this district with O'Connor and Balderson. That's going to be on the ballot again, Balderson and O'Connor. A lot of people in Marion live in that particular district. That election will happen again. The governor's election will happen. The Senate race between Renacci and Sherrod Brown will happen. So there's a lot. Jordan, our congressman here, Jordan and Garrett, that race will happen. So there's a lot going on, and you have to pay attention. It doesn't matter how you vote. It's if you vote. And that's what may or may not happen. I don't know. Will these books and all this news make people vote, make people not vote? I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but I believe it will make them vote. I believe more people will turn out this coming November than will have ever turned out before. My personal opinion, but that's what I think will happen. If I am wrong, I will, on November 7th, tell you I was wrong. But where will the polls go? Will the polls mean anything? Will the polls have been on, off, whatever? Hard to say. 30 seconds left. Anybody want to share anything? Answer a trivia question? 740-383-9944 as we get ready to wrap up this program today. And again, we thank the amazing Kreskin for coming on. He is always very good. Perfect person to have on the program, and the first time visit by the Attorney General of the State of Ohio, Mike DeWine, Republican gubernatorial candidate for governor. So we hope you enjoyed that, and we hope we hear from them, we hear from you. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned for more programming here on WWGH Radio.
And the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind, the word I think of when I...